Welcome to Blitz Hacker, Gabriella. How are you?
I'm very good, Suresh. Thank you. And what about you?
I'm pretty good as well. Could you give us a bit of your background?
Yeah. Originally I'm from Italy, and I was born there a few decades ago in Turin, precisely in the northwest part of Italy. And I studied languages, and then I started traveling because I was a tour leader. I was escorting groups and people abroad for tour operators. And that allowed me to travel a bit around Europe and in different continents and satisfy my hunger for seeing new countries, meeting new people with different cultures, etc. I moved to UK in 1998, funnily enough, because I met a British man while I was working in the Maldives, and so I fell in love with him. I moved, he happened to live in London, so I moved there, and I'm not in London anymore, but I'm still living in UK, almost 18 years late. So while I was in UK, I had different jobs, and I did work for some time in the travel industry here as well. And then so a series of events, like it happens in life, my marriage fell apart, and also was made redundant at work. So it just seemed that life wanted me to change. So in a very short period of time, I basically find myself from married to split under the same roof, then single, then divorced, while I was also trying to figure it out what it would be my next step career-wise. And in the middle of all this, I trained in neuro-linguistic programming, also called NLP, and that kind of reacquainted or reawakened me my passion for the mind, the unconscious, our potential, and so forth. All stuff that I was already interested into while I was still living in Italy, my home country, many years earlier. So in a way it was going back to myself partly. And then what happened was once I finished the legal proceedings of the divorce, etc., I came across this opportunity to go to Antarctica with a group of people led by an Australian explorer who has been himself to the North and South Pole and takes people to Antarctica to face fears and limiting beliefs. And having just trained in neuro-linguistic programming, which is all about the mind and goal setting and facing your fears, etc., I found that opportunity quite irresistible. So before I knew, I signed up for this, and 9 months later I found myself down under on the other side of the planet with penguins and seals and in a ship going to Antarctica.
Well, how long a trip was that? And so, I mean, did you start in Australia and
it was a mixed group. Part of the group was coming from Australia, but there were also people like me coming from either Europe or UK. So we met in Ushuaia, which is a tiny town in the most southern part of Argentina. That part is also called Tierra del Fuego, which is the land of the fire. And it's also called Fin del Mundo, which is the end of the world. Actually, it is. It is indeed. And it's actually the port where all ships these days and in the past were taking off to go then to cross the Drake Passage and then to go to, well, in the past, to the unknown, but now we know there is another continent called Antarctica.
Yeah. And what was that journey like on the boat and whatnot?
So, just to give you a bit of background to understand better, the journey in itself, it was on a boat that was originally designed for scientific experiments, okay? But it was hired just by our group, so it was a private journey. It wasn't, you know, a cruise line or anything like that. And the trip in itself from Ushuaia to the Antarctic Peninsula, which is where we went, and back, the whole trip was 10 days only. We didn't travel across Antarctica, unfortunately. But I think I saw enough of Antarctica to know what it's like and definitely feel it directly under my skin. And the purpose in itself of the trip, it wasn't just to conquer ice or anything like that. It's all been done, you know. The purpose was really to put yourself in an environment which is quite hostile, obviously, and is different in situation where you normally wouldn't put yourself on a daily basis. For instance, doing ice climbing or kayaking in a place where there is just you and nature. Camping on the ice overnight. It's not something that one does on a regular basis, does it?
No.
Yeah. So that was the spirit, the purpose of going on a journey like this. And I thought, if I'm, a master practitioner of NLP, I want to test myself, especially coming out from such a challenging time for me. The divorce in itself is not something very pleasurable, or definitely mine wasn't. And I really needed to kind of rebuild myself emotionally as a woman and also psychologically. So I always been addicted to traveling. I always been really passionate about traveling to adventurous destinations. So I thought I have to go and check it out.
And I'm sure that, like, when we have those kinds of difficult situations, I'm sure that you just wanted to do something that just totally was different, that you've never done before.
Yeah, in a way, I try to do something more. It's true. But I think what came up for me, it was being aware that I needed to really please my spirit. After such a long and difficult time, and not feeling that I was using my time for something that was really in my, let's call it, life goal or purpose, right? I don't think anybody wakes up one day and thinks, oh yes, now I'm going to have a divorce and I'm going through hell for a couple of years and then I will go through all sorts of legal challenges and etc., etc., etc. These things do happen in life to anybody, really. And when they do happen, it depends from person to person. We are all different. There isn't a rule, but they test us, right? So you never really know how you come out of the other end. And I came out of the other end, so to speak, quite distraught, quite fragile, and I really needed to have time on my own and to do something totally different to recharge, but also to refine myself, you know, find again who I was, who is Gabriella, you know, what does Gabriella really want in life, etc. So that's why I think I ended up among the penguins.
And so once you got back, what happened? How did things change?
Well, when I came back, I didn't realize immediately, but I had kind of a crisis. Because before and after the trip to Antarctica, I traveled on my own through Argentina, Chile, and I went as far as Easter Island in the middle of the Pacific before coming back home. And so in a way, it was a time for me to really rediscover myself, to do something that nourished my spirit. But when you can imagine how different can be being in Patagonia, in the never-ending prairies, you know, or up in the Andes, or on a beach in Easter Island, and among the Moai, you know, these huge statues. I mean, it's such a exotic place. Yeah, and going back to London, and at the time I was living in Brixton, which is a very mixed racial ethnic borough of London. So it was really so different and so opposite, and so it was almost like kind of when you test yourself and you stretch yourself, the deep end, so to speak, you know, you become bigger than life, right? So you can't go back and then think that you can fit yourself back in the box you were before going away, because yeah, that box has become too small for you.
Yeah, your whole mind changes.
Yeah, so in a way, I went back. I thought to resume life as it was, and I couldn't really. So it took me some time, some months to readjust, and after that, actually, I had the crisis. I really realized that I didn't know where to go. I didn't know where to look. I didn't know where. If there was, it's still a place where I could fit in, you know. And because at the end of the day, we all are social animals. We do have to kind of fit somewhere. Unless you want to become a monk and live in a monastery, then it's okay. But it wasn't my plan. So it really tested me going back to kind of normal reality. And the end of my second crisis, really, I let it go, and I kind of stayed within the process, you know, of seeing what it would surge from the deep parts of myself, and the result of it was that I realized that I had a passion I never explored, which was flying. And so when I remember that, and because I was pondering about my name, Flying Inspiration, and then the first part of it, the flying bit, kind of hit me, and I thought, oh yeah, I always wanted to learn to fly. And so it seemed that when I realized that it was almost like my spirit took off again, you know, so I had another challenge, basically. And so that's the way, kind of, my second crisis fell away little by little.
So both times, I mean, you went to Antarctica and eventually you flew, and...
No. I went to just once to Antarctica. Unfortunately, for the time being, I only been there once.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I meant, you know, you went to Antarctica and followed your heart, and then after you came back, you learned how to fly.
Yeah.
And both times, you followed your heart, which is really hard to do once you've gone through a very difficult situation like a divorce. I know, because I've been divorced as well. And I just want you to kind of give the audience, how do you recapture that ability to follow your heart once you've gone through such a difficult trauma like a divorce?
Well, that's a very good question, actually. As I say, I think I think what happened was I came out of the divorce process so in bits and pieces, really.
Yeah.
And the funny side of it is that on the spot I didn't realize. I thought, oh, once it's finished, I'm okay. Whereas I didn't realize until I was finished and done that my psyche, my body, all started to rebel because they needed to recover.
Right.
And so it's like being through a serious illness, you know. Then you have the recovery process. So, but I never thought, I've never been in such a traumatic situation, so I didn't know. I thought, oh, once the legal proceedings are over, I'm done. And actually, it didn't happen. So, in a way, because I had this focus, because I signed up for this expedition, so I had to prepare. So I did everything I possibly could to be in good shape physically, psychologically as well, etc. It kind of kept me focused. And also, I think the thing that was major and pivotal in the process was the fact that I chose something that was totally inspiring my spirit. Okay, after a very long, tough, sluggish, in slow motion type of period, right?
Right.
So it was almost like, and all of a sudden, I was given oxygen. So my lungs started filling up with oxygen, and my whole being started to be revitalized, right? And but at the same time, I was focused because I had that to look forward to. So in a way, I was kind of focusing a bit in the future because I had this big trip coming up. Whereas when I came back from the big trip, you know, and that was that again. Now looking backwards, I can see what happens is it's always the moment after that, when you relax, you know, you take your breath and you recover in your breath, basically. That then it can happen. You have like kind of a collapse because you're exhausted. Or maybe because in my case, after coming back from South America, I find it really difficult to readjust to my way of life I had in UK before going to Antarctica. So to answer your question is, yes, for hearing the call of my heart, it was the saving grace for me to come out and replenish my spirit, regain contact with my spirit. And when I came back and I kind of felt depressed and I felt lost and all the rest, again, what happened was when I heard the call of my heart again, that was the second time when I, again, and that helped me to come back alive again.
Right. I think in both times, I think also from my own perspective, those times are when you actually fall in love with yourself and you find what you said, the calling of your heart.
Yeah.
And I think that's the main key, is when you may have been hurt before by following your heart and being with someone and they hurt you, this time around you should follow your heart because you won't hurt yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting way of putting it, Suresh, actually. I quite like it. And I think it's very accurate for what happened to me. It's true, thinking about it, especially when I decided to follow my heart and go to Antarctica. I think it really helped me to fall back in love with myself and trust myself and believe in myself and give value to myself, really, you know, not just maybe considering what society or somebody else thinks or wants from you.
Well, yeah, it's a challenging thing of being married sometimes is we're not necessarily ourselves as individuals, and we become a different person that's this marriage person that's both you and your spouse. And then when you get divorced, you have to then relearn who you are again. And so, yeah, I found that out, that for others, it's hard, you know, to go fall in love with someone else after that, or they try to do that too fast. And unfortunately, what will happen is that doesn't work, right? Because we don't know who we are. So if we don't know who we are, then how can we find someone that we can love?
Yes, it's very accurate too, and I have to say that for me, obviously, I can only speak for myself as a woman. I never thought that one day I would lose myself in a relationship. It's not something again that I plan to do. It just happens to you, and then unfortunately, you find out the hard way. You know, when you're already in and you're gasping. but in a way, yes, I think it was applicable definitely for me. I did lose myself because possibly I didn't value myself enough to be able to stand in my power, not to prevail on the other person, but just to respect myself. And as you say, also, if you don't respect yourself, you can't really respect somebody else properly. It's the same as if you don't know yourself, you can't really know somebody else, and as a consequence, love somebody else completely.
Yeah, that's extremely beautiful. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. So I wanted to get, I know when you just started talking about flying, I want you to tell us how much it means to you to fly. And it's one of my, I want to learn how to fly. I've kind of gone back and forth on learning how to fly myself. I'm kind of just happy now traveling all over, but I do eventually want to learn how to fly as well. But I just want to hear what flying means to you.
Beautiful question. Thank you. Well, remember I said that to choose to go to Antarctica, it was really the medicine that really cured me and healed me after the divorce, because it's something that really lightens my spirit. The same is valid for flying. I just forgot, you know, that I wanted to do that. And that's why when I remember that and I thought, oh, I absolutely have to do this. Even if it might be the last thing I do in this lifetime, I don't care. I have to find a way to do this. And it's almost like when I fly, and by the way, I learned, or better to be precise, I started training as a glider pilot. Unfortunately, I haven't finished because of lack of funds. Just to make clear that life is not always so simple and easy and everything happens according to your desires, but I will finish the for sure as soon as I can. But you see, when I fly, especially in a glider, which is a plane without an engine, so it's possibly one of the purest way to fly, you know, just you and the element, and, you know, without using the power of an engine. So it's like birds fly, basically, but you, not being a bird, you use a plane, a glider, actually. When I am there, and it's much more silent than power flying because it doesn't have an engine, and you're up there and you thermal, it means you use the ascending columns of air to be able to go up and sustain yourself and fly and not go back on the ground. It's something that is so magical, especially when you approach the clouds, when you approach cloud base, you know. You don't fly in clouds, so you go only at the base of it. But I remember the first time I did that with an instructor, of course, and I felt something, I felt such awe, I was speechless. I felt possibly what maybe ancient people might have felt looking at top of big mountains, because they thought that gods, you know, would reside there. I felt the same. I felt almost touching the something impossible, something that is so far that you think it will never happen. And then also when you fly in a thermal, sometimes it does happen that you might fly with birds, you know, like kites, buzzards, or it depends where you are. It could be eagles, you know. And it's magical. It's something, for me, it's freedom. It's, I don't know, that it's difficult to express it in words.
Yeah, it's the same for me as well. The few lessons I've taken, it's a different thing. But you're right. It's I'm sure you'll have the more pure version of flight, because I've always done it with a little Cessna with an engine. So you can. The challenge with that is unless you'll hear the engine, there's no way for you to not tune that out. But in a glider, I can't imagine how amazing that is, because it's just you in the air and the elements.
Yeah, so obviously it requires a lot of practice skills and training, and it can be, well, everything in life is dangerous, really. But I mean, it's not as easy as just power flying, for obvious reason, okay? If the engine fails, though, you are better set, you know? But if you are a glider pilot, because for you it's not a big deal, you are used to that. But if you are in a plane that obviously doesn't have such a big span wings, you know, it's another story. But it's a different way. It's a bit, just to give you an analogy, an example, is like the difference between you know, going on the sea with a speedboat, or sailing, is the same thing. You know, if you sail, you're just you and the sea, and your capabilities, your skills, you know, your knowledge of how to use the wind to propel yourself, really.
Yeah. Well, I'd love for you to get an opportunity to talk about how people can get in touch with you, and if you want to talk a little bit more about your book. I know we talked about just, you know, the Antarctica and just a few things, but if you wanted to, I'd love for you to, you know, talk a little bit more about the book and how people can get in touch with you.
Yeah, well, my book is entitled Antarctic Odyssey, A New Beginning, and was published in 2012 in December, but it's now coming out as an e-book. And it's now coming out soon, by the end of this month, also in paperback, so it's a proper book that you can hold in your hands on Amazon. And if people are interested in having a look into it, and or receive an extract of it, or purchase it, they can find it on my website, which is flyinginspiration.com. And also on my website, they can find lots of articles, radio interviews I gave in the past. And also they can find some information about what I do work-wise these days. I am an empowerment women coach, and I have the privilege to help women discover how beautiful they are. Bodies and how magical their female cycle can be to help them discover themselves.
Awesome. I'll definitely have, and also, do you want me to link them to the social networks as well?
Yeah, on the website there is a page called Contact Me, and there are all the links to social media where they can find me. Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube, Pinterest, and many more websites.
Well, this has been an amazing interview. I kind of got goosebumps when you started talking about the flying. I mean, it was kind of funny because, you know, I thought I would be more interested about the Antarctica, but flying for me is the passion. So I was very moved by what you were talking about, how free it was to be in the glider.
Yeah, well, I tell you, when I jumped into the Antarctic Sea, it was cold, but I could call them freedom too. Even just the fact that you come out of it and you realize you're still alive, you haven't died. And it's something that you might not do again in your life, but you've done it. And it's pretty crazy.
What was your favorite part of the Antarctica? If you have one thing to think of.
Well,
one thing that
yes, one, there are many things. And to be honest, I tried to include as many pictures as I could in the book. The one thing that I will never forget, and I will carry with me until I leave and I breathe, is to look into a whale's eye. And it was a very similar experience to be in a kayak and having a leopard seal coming to you and looking at you like a meter away from you. And knowing that it's just you and the animal. And leopard seal are quite big and it can be dangerous because they are very playful, so they don't maybe know that you are a human. You can't just play with them underwater, right?
Right.
So, but then you are a human, you know this, so there are moments when you feel it's just really, there's nothing between you and that being. And it's like looking into a whale's eyes, you feel like it's almost, you don't feel the heart because you can't, but it's almost like eye to eye. It's like when you look into a person's eyes, you know. And it's again a very similar feeling to, you know, when I camped overnight on the ice and I couldn't sleep because, well, first of all, it was so cold that even if I was in a tent, in a sleeping bag, and I had three layers on and everything else, I couldn't sleep because it was cold. And the second thing was the noise. You might think, oh, well, there's nobody around, it might be very silent. And actually, it's not. Nature is quite loud over there, because the ice is very noisy. It gets split, moves, and carved. So basically, icebergs they fall apart, you know, and they clash and they fall into the sea, etc. So it's a constant noise, you know, and sometimes it can be deafening because it's so loud. So I couldn't sleep, and it was like kind of almost metaphysical or strange out of a body experience of you don't feel your body anymore. It's almost like kind of you are just there with nature and you don't know really where the boundary is. No, you don't know any longer where is you, where is the sleeping bag, where is the air, where is the ice. It's almost like you become one with it, and it's something that changes you. It's something that, you know, I don't know if you ever heard of the oneness movement process, whatever it is called, of this consciousness, you know, becoming conscious that we are one. And for me, going to Antarctica, it was really a way to experience that firsthand, like in my skin or under my skin or in my bones, or however you prefer to say it. And it really it makes you real. It makes you realize that you can only be you, and all you want is to discover yourself, because you haven't got a clue who you are. And that's the purpose of life. And so it's very difficult after all that to kind of go back and live a so-called normal life. You still have to find a balance, you know, of course, a way to integrate it into your so-called normal life. But there are experiences that I wish everybody really maybe to search or go after, because they make you grow, and they make you, I would say, maybe wise. I consider nature my biggest teacher, so I always did, since a very early age. So if I feel unbalanced, unsettled, or whatever, the first thing I do is go and walk in nature.
Well, that's awesome. I agree with you. Like, nature is your best teacher. Well, thank you so much for this interview. I really appreciate your time, and I will definitely send it to you once it's published.